as our loved ones, we don't weep as the world, because we have a hope that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And so if you ain't got a shout in you, a shout ain't going to come out. Come on now. Lynn, I'm telling you, I have no reservation about saying this. You're going to live, the enemy just attacked the wrong person, wrong day. Your voice is going to be louder, stronger. Your stamina is going to come back. You listen to me. I believe that. You say, how can you say that? Because I am persuaded that my God is able to complete the good work that he began. I am persuaded he's still God. He's still God. Come on. He's still God. Whew. He's why I get up in the morning. He's why I keep going. Oh, the Lord just changed my whole message after I got here. I had to go back and tell Brother Tony, and I want to get right in the Word. It's good to be back. I love you guys. I love you. You don't know that by now. If you don't know, I can't sing. I'll let that sit to you. But I do love you. And because I love you, I come to preach the truth. I don't want to fuss at you. The older you become as a woman, it's very unflattering to be a fussy woman. But I, at the same time, I will be, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I believe that, like she said, the Lord's coming back, and it's time as the evangelist, we sound the alarm. And it said the last days many will be offended. It said there'll be a great falling away, and we're seeing these things come to pass. And I made a statement. I don't know if I said it to you and Sister Cindy or not, but it just struck a chord with me today. We're supposed to be in this world, but not of it. But I'm afraid we become in the church, but not of it. I think we're dyslexic. I think we come to church, but we're not the church. I'm talking about in whole. I'm not fussing at you, but it's time the church becomes the bride of Christ. That we don't want to just come in with enough to say that he gets me a ticket to enter in. That he saved me, that I could have life here on earth and life more abundantly. But to have that relationship with God is not just about what I get out of it, but what can I do in his kingdom here? What am I doing to birth the next generation? What am I doing to pour into them? What am I doing? And the Lord said, until he returns, we're to occupy. And that doesn't mean just sit around like in a waiting room. It does to do the work of the Lord while we can. And there's something for each of us to do. And his grace and his mercy is why many are still here. He said, I want you to finish your course with joy. I want you to hear me say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Y'all with me? Turn in your Bibles, if you will, to 2 Kings, the 4th chapter. And the Lord just told me to tell you, it ain't dead yet. You hear me? It ain't dead yet. It may look dead, it may act dead, but it ain't dead yet. And a lot of times I think we're burying something prematurely. Are you with me? Come on, we're burying something prematurely. I just feel the Lord expectancy. Tonight, I know this is probably kind of different from me, but when I come back here to evangel, there's places in this church that I have altars in my life. I know the things that I was going through. Some of y'all know in my body and different things I was going through that some of you never even knew I was going through. But I remember an attack I had here one time. I couldn't even walk. I remember coming here and didn't have a voice every year I came. And it's just when it forces me to look back and I get excited about, thank you, Lord. It's not just to come to declare a word, because this church hears the word. You hear the word. It'd be different if you didn't hear the word. But I look out, there's some faces I don't know. But I dare say everyone in here tonight has heard the gospel. Now, what you've done to act according to what you heard, that's up to you and the Lord. I'm not to do the work of the Holy Spirit. But you've heard the word. And the thing about it we have to understand is the word will not return void, but shall accomplish that which he sent it to do. The word is the word. And it's not just vain words. It's the word of truth. It's promise. It's yes and amen. And we have to become in such a relationship with him that we know him. Come on, you have to know him to trust him. I don't think you can really love somebody and not trust them. I think they go hand in hand. When somebody betrays your trust, it's hard to love them. But God has never done any of us, anybody, anything but good. Now, maybe he's moved to ways we don't understand. I know there will be times in your life you'll face situations and say, God, I don't get it. I don't understand it. That's the humanity. But I will still trust you, Lord, because I'm looking right here, but you're looking down. And that's where faith comes in, is that you trust him, that his ways are higher. Amen? Come on, y'all know I like to hear an amen from the majority. 2 Kings, I'm excited. 4th chapter. Verse 8 says, one day Elisha went on to Shunem, where a rich and influential woman lived, who insisted on his eating a meal. Afterward, whenever he passed by, he stopped there for a meal, and she said to her husband, behold now, I perceive, not that I feel, not that I got a word, but I perceive that this is a holy man of God who passes by continually. So let us make a small chamber on the housetop and put up there a bed, a table, a chair, and a lamp. Then whenever he comes to us, he can go up the outside stairs and rest. So one day he came and he turned into the chamber and he laid there. And he said to Gehazi, his servant, call the Shunammite. And when he had called her, she stood before him. And he said to his servant, say now to her, you have been most painstakingly and reverently concerned for us. What is it to be done for you? Would you like to be spoken of for the king or to the commander of the army? And she answered, no, I dwell among my own people. Basically, she said, I'm fine. Isn't that a good church person? I'm fine. Some of y'all complained all day, all week. You ain't felt good. You're not this, but you come to church. How are you? I'm fine. I mean, we all come together. It's a shame we all come tonight because nobody needs anything. We're all fine. It's a good message, but we're fine, Pastor. We're just fine. Get there in a minute. Later, Elisha said, then what can I do for her? And the servant answered, she has no child, and her husband is old. So he said, call her. And when he called her, she stood in the doorway. And Elisha said, at this season, when the time comes around, you shall embrace a son. And she said, no, my Lord. You man of God, do not lie to your handmaid. But the woman conceived and bore son at the season following. Now I'm going to come down there where y'all are. Is that all right with y'all? Me and my polka-dotted clown shirt? What I feel like sending the clowns. All right, Billy. Okay, turn red. Okay. All right, let's get back to the basin. This scripture, the whole 2 Kings 4, I just can't get out of it. I think I preached before about the woman who lost what she had in the house in the first chapters. She went to the prophet. She had been married to a prophet. She knew the strength of the prophetic. And she had a situation where the enemy was coming to take her two sons into slavery. She cried out for help. And we become a generation, we do that. We want a word. We want a word, and there's nothing wrong with a word, but we have forsaken the word. That's Jesus. He said, then the word became flesh. We've got to get back to standing on the word, and anything else is just a confirmation we embrace. But you cannot stand on the prophetic, because it's conditional upon your circumstances and what you do. Another story. And the man asked her, said, well, what do you already have in the house? And you remember she said, I have nothing but a little bit of oil. I like the Amplified because it said, what do you have of value in the house? And she said, nothing. And I'm afraid that we have slowly compromised into a generation that we discount the value of the Holy Ghost. He's called holy. It's not a sideshow. He's not something to make you look better, to make your ministry look better. He is something to confirm the word of God for the non-believer, not entertainment for believers. It should be following you out there. It should be not something that just shows up every now and then. It should be something that's expected. The signs follow. And so the man told her, he said, you're never going to realize the value of what you have still until you use it. He said, those two sons, you're worried about the enemy taking. You take them back in your house. Shut the door. You're going to hear me say that a lot this weekend. It's time for church. Shut the door and stop giving place to the enemy. Shut the door. We keep arguing on, if you had fixed that, the rat wouldn't have got in. Well, you had done this. Just shut the door. Kill the rat and quit blaming somebody. Because while we're blaming, the rats are multiplying. So instead he said, take those two sons of yours, take them into your house, and shut the door, and start pouring into them. And y'all, we've got to start pouring into this next generation. We've got to start pouring into them, not a lot of rules or regulations. But we should talk about Jesus to the point the tears come to our eyes and our lips quiver and say, he's the sweetest name I know. Instead of just telling them a lot of church woes and scars and baggage and thou shalt not. It should be, you don't have to. I was blind, but now I see. I was wandering. They should look at you as something they want. But why would we want a generation that has put their hearts in the willow tree, lost their shout, lost their song, lost their joy? The churches of America become like a hospice. And they're supposed to be a birthing place where people are being born again. So begin to pour into them. So she poured into them when they were full. And when they were full, she let them go. And she went and got another one and another one. You know, I shared with you before, it said until she said, go get another one. They said, there are no more. It wasn't that there were no more vessels. There were no more empty vessels. And everybody wants, God, give me more, more, more. But we've lost the sense, God, take more out of me, because as I decrease, he increases. We just want God to top off our mess, make us look good. And we need to become a broken generation. Come on, not shattered, but broken. Shared with you, I think some of you before, that the Lord said, I still have healing. The revivals that we want to compare of yesterday, they may not look the same, but God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He wants to set people free. Come on. I mean, break chains off. Miracles happen. He's still God, but we've got to empty ourselves and quit telling God when he can move, how he can move, through what he can move. So we see this first woman. And I like to think of her not in a female gender like women versus men, but kind of like the church, the bride. It said, who saw this house in her former glory? The female gender is often referred to as the bride. She needed something. It was real easy to get people to come to the Lord in a crisis. After 9/11, our churches were filled. People get afraid, come on, they'll come. But this next story goes into a woman that basically had no need of what we would call a need. So she was married, she was rich, she was wealthy. She had more than enough, a surplus. But she had a heart that saw the need in other people. And I'm afraid we get so caught up in what I need, I can't worry about you. And so it says she told her husband. It didn't say, I got a word. It didn't say, this morning while I was having coffee, I read something. She just said, you know, that person, that minister, he and his assistant, they come through town year after year, and they must get tired of staying in hotels. And she saw a need, and she had empathy for him. And she said, why don't, you know, we feed them and we take them out for a meal, and that's good, but why don't we go the extra step? You know, we've got this house, and we've got the funds and the resources. Why don't we make a room for them on top of the house, which was the best, put their own staircase where they can come and go, no strings attached, give them a key. Come on, they don't owe us anything. Let's just make it available to them. You can't find that kind of heart these days. Come on, let's just be honest. Everybody, what's in it for me? In fact, I'm going to go somewhere I may not need to go, but I'm going to go there. Even the way Christians vote has become so non-scriptural. It's I will vote for the candidate that gives me something instead of the one that lines up the best with the Word of God. Well, don't shout me down because I told the truth. And so they build it. They put a bed there we could rest, a table, a lamp, set it up. Polly gave their best and said, here you go. She didn't expect anything. She just did it, her servitude to the Lord. But you can't give God. Now, this is not about give and get. Somehow we have taken the things of God and we try to manipulate. That's what the devil did with Eve in the beginning. That the whole thing, we want a shortcut. We want to do less and get more. And so what she does, she builds it, but you can't outgive God. So God lays on the prophet's heart. My mind's going faster than my mouth could go. That's sad. Said, what can we do to repay her? See, giving to God is like a boomerang. Can I tell you that? It may not come in the source of money. It may not come, but God will bless you in due season. He'll bless you in the time you need it. You're not playing him like the lottery. In fact, you will not find a word in the Greek or the Hebrew that means lottery. Because God came that all should be saved. Come on, it's not duck, duck, goose. Come on. God's provision is not one lucky person to get it. There's also not a word called retirement in the Hebrew or Greek language. Throw that out too. When you're done, he'll beam you up, Scotty. You can retire from your job, but I'm talking about you don't retire from being a Christian. So some of you just lost your mind. So he's laying there that night, and the nature of God is on him. He says, she has blessed us so much. What can we do to repay? So notice, I have to get this in because it just blesses me every time. He calls the woman that said she stood in the doorway. Now that word doorway is very significant. If she had never put herself out for somebody else, there would never be a place in her wall that someone else could minister. She stood in the doorway. You know, the scripture says your gift will make room for itself. Thank you, Lynn. I'm glad you got that. She stood in the doorway, and he says, what can we do to repay you? I mean, he said, you have been painstakingly. I mean, let's just break it down. It didn't say it, but she probably had his favorite coffee in that room, his favorite creamer, anything he liked, his favorite color. I mean, she went beyond expectations for him to feel at home. Why can't we do that with the house of God? Why can't we get to know God so intimately that whatever makes him smile, whatever extra step it takes, whatever, not me just to ask most for him, but do the less. If he wants me to rise early and seek him, he's worth getting up. He's worth turning that TV off. Come on. Why do we try to find out the microwave way when he just wants us to commune with him? That's what he wants, your fellowship, that you want to be with him. Not just for him to be a genie in a bottle that you bring out when you need three wishes. He wants you to love him, to draw near to him before he draws nigh to you. He wants you to love him with that everlasting love. He said, when I come back, will I find faith among you? Faith means I trust him. I don't care how it looks, I still trust you, Lord. That's what pleases God. It's not that every time he doesn't jump when you and I tell him to jump, we get mad, take our Jackson ball, go to the house. He's wanting a bride. He wants somebody that's passionately in love with him. He's looking for a church that will start singing again, oh, what a day that will be. Memoir Jesus, I shall see. When I look upon his face, He's looking for people to start singing songs like, "I've never been so homesick before." People who would say, "Come on, the longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now." What happened with people being in love with him? You can tell by a person's face when they're in love. We throw off love by somebody we don't even know. We don't even trust. Like the vote's still out. And he's wanting to bless you. See, I'm just gonna follow the Lord. He knows sacrifices you've made. You don't have to tell it. He knows sacrifices. He knows when it would have been easier for you to get angry, but you chose to do what he asked you to do. Nothing is hidden for the Lord. Oh, not just sin, but he knows the sacrifice of praise. And a lot of people may not know it, but God said, "I see it and I'm keeping a remembrance of it." And she's standing in the doorway, and the man of God said, "What would you like for us to do? How can we repay you? You like me to put in a good word with the king? I know somebody that has a house you want to move. I mean, whatever it is, what can we do for you? What can I do for you?" And the woman said, "I don't need anything. I'm fine." And sometimes that's true. But I'm afraid a lot of times it's because we're afraid to expect. We were talking at lunch today. People have lost their hope. Because faith is the substance of things hoped for. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. If I stop hoping, I don't need faith. And if I don't need faith, then I don't see a need for the Word of God. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. In fact, I'm going to go out on a ledge and say, we'd rather just hear praise and worship, because Saul, I don't want to get rid of my demons, just make them be quiet. Praise and worship is biblical, but not when you try to replace it for the word. David, come, you pay the price, David. You go out there, but come and just make my demons be quiet for a little bit, but I don't want to be delivered. She said, "It's well. I'm fine. I'm fine." And you know you're not fine. I know you're not fine. Look, can we just be honest? Can we just be blatantly honest? I mean, I'm not gonna strike the rock, and I'm not gonna go out beyond what God's called me to do. But I know some of you well enough. I know circumstances. You're not fine. I know you're not fine. We're in the presence of a holy God with his anointing. Still going to try to say, "I'm fine." Say, "Don't you tell me I'm not fine. I'll show you I'm fine. I'm fine coming in. I'm fine going out. And I'm fine not coming back tomorrow night, but I'm fine." Because it's become the new politically correct word to say, "I'm fine." Oh, walking like this? Oh, I like walking like that. Yeah, yeah, I like it. Yeah, I like it. Yeah, it's a new fad I got. Yeah, yeah. I don't know this. I don't think I know something that, because of what I just said. There's marriages in here, not fine. Families in here, not fine. But we feel a need to come in and put on the mask. And I'm fine. And it said the servant spoke up. And the servant, I want to say, if I can be creative, represents the Holy Ghost. Because, see, he knows your business. He knows you ain't fine. You can fool me, you can fool pastor, you can fool people in your family, but you can't fool the Lord. He looks upon the heart. And so the servant says, "She's always wanted a child." Listen to this. "But she's never bore a child, and her husband is old. Now, I had never seen those words till recently. He basically was saying she's given up on her dreams. She's reaching an age where she's telling herself she can't produce. And the one she would look to is old. And what sometimes we have to realize is we put all our faith in something we can see or something our ability. And when we can't produce, or the doctor can't produce, or the bank can't produce, we say it's too late. But I'm here to tell you that's when God says, now it's my turn. Oh, no, you did. Come on. You're not going to get to your next point till your brook dries up. God's not punishing you, making your brook dry up, but you would be content to stay in your comfort zone after one victory with the Lord, and you would begin now to become so comfortable that that raven would feed you. That becomes your source, and you will miss out from going from glory to glory. We see one side of God, and we say we've seen enough. No. I want to see every side of him. I didn't enjoy being sick, but I know he's my healer. I didn't enjoy being broke, but I found out he's my Jehovah Jireh. Come on. I found out he's my friend. There's sides to God. I did not embrace the journey, but I wouldn't take anything for it. God knows the desire of your heart. See, you'll ask for your needs because it's needs. But God said, I loved you enough, I want to give you the desire. Your desire is always bigger than your ability. The world will call it small town girls have big city dreams. Why would you dream something bigger than your circumstances? Because there's something in you, in your spirit, that serves a God bigger than your circumstances, that cries out for the supernatural more than the natural can supply. And the church has got to get back that we serve a supernatural God, not just a natural God. He's not just an ATM. He is God. There's none like him to him, Lynn. He is my God. He still does miracles. He has not lost his power. We've tried to commercialize him. We've tried to package him. You can't package an almighty God. And he said, is this true? And you know what? You would think, and we're so quick to judge, here's a woman that has always wanted a child, and her husband's old, and she's given up hope. She's made room for the prophet. And he's saying, is that true? You think she would say, oh, shall it be? Because he said, then you're going to have the baby. You know what she said? Don't lie to me. Don't come in here. That's why I don't like to come to these revivals. It's every year. I know one time I was going through something in my physical body, and I kept getting words that I was going to get healed, and I got sicker, and I thought, I am not healthy enough to get another word, okay? One more word, and they're going to bury me. One more word about me being financial prosperous, and I'm gonna lose what I don't have. You ever been like that? Don't even go there! Come on, you ever been like that? The church is going to grow, and you have a mass exodus. We get that mindset. Don't even go there. Don't go there. Don't go there. Don't go there. Because you get to go out of here, and I have to live here. And I can't produce. No, you can't. You can't. And I don't know who this is for. He said, but I've waited year after year after year after year. And God said, then you're closer than you've ever been before. You're closer than you've ever been before. Come on. Because weeping endures at the night. But joy comes in the morning. And you know when it's morning? At 1 a.m. when it's still pitch dark outside, it's still legally morning. I shall see in the land of the living the hand of God. Whew. The thank you for receiving that dress, y'all. Oh, it'd be nice. Hope. We have become hopeless instead of hopeful. She said, don't come in here and lie to me. And oh, we've become cliche-ish with the scripture. Whose report will you believe? I shall believe the report of the Lord. Well, somehow it's lost in transition. Because that's something that has to be a revelation. She said, it's impossible. Don't come in here and do that. He said, okay, you don't think God can do it in 12 months? Well, he's going to do it in 9 months.